2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. Profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. The man or woman of God would be thoroughly and adequately equipped for every good work. The Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The Word of God is the source, the authoritative source for our understanding of God, our understanding of Christ, our understanding of the Christian life, our understanding of spiritual warfare, our understanding of the mission of the church, the nature of the church. Our understanding of everything comes from the Word of God, objective, eternal truth. And I turn to it with all gravity, gladness, with all sincerity and joy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray together. Our merciful and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before You this morning to thank You for this day of life, Lord, to thank You for this day of the week that we cherish. God, help us to cherish it more. Oh Lord, we pray that You would break the stone that surrounds so many hearts. We pray, oh God, that You would stir people up in their inner person to love You. Stir Your church to love You, to prize and cherish You above everything else. Stir us, O God, that we would love the first day of the week because we get the privilege and opportunity to come together with brothers and sisters and fellowship in Christ and worship You through Christ. We get the opportunity to learn together from Your Word and pray Your Word and sing Your Word and read Your Word and hear Your Word. Lord, we pray that You would take Your word that You inspired here to be written, Lord, that You have preserved down through the centuries and have graciously provided for us today. And God, we ask You to illuminate these truths to our hearts and minds, that we would be nourished by faith upon them, that we would rejoice today in You, our Savior, that we would rejoice in You, our God, we would be changed. So come, we pray, for Your glory, for our good, and for the good of others, because we ask it in faith according to Your word. In Jesus' name, and amen. We have been thinking about this text for more than three Sundays, but this particular section, this particular idea that you see on the screen of seeing the glory of God in Christ and savoring that scene, savoring that the excellencies of Him, savoring that is to intensify and stir up within us a longing to spread that glory in the world. We do this in a lot of different ways. We do this when we send missionaries. We do this in part when we support those missionaries. We do this in personal witnessing and evangelism as we share the gospel with those within our sphere of influence. We do this in our lives as we live in ways that manifest the supremacy of the value of Christ in our hearts. We do that. We spread the passion that we have for God's supremacy in every facet of our lives, in every part of life, all over the world, up in the stars and beyond what we know. We do this because we personally enjoy a sweet fellowship with God. For the joy of our souls and the pleasure of our hearts, we commune with the triune God by faith. We see that in verse 4, as you continually come to Him, the living stone, who was also the rejected stone, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And the effect of our coming to Him is that we become living stones. We become spiritually alive. And now we have life where we only before experienced death. And now we're alive. Now we see God by faith through the person and work of Jesus Christ, the living Word that is testified and objectively, eternally, clearly presented to us and preserved for us in the Word, the written Word. And so we see Him and we savor that communion with Him, living stones now, to become, it says in verse 5, a holy priesthood. So that we, each one now, the blood-bought, born-again children of God, purchased by the work of the cross, purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, we now, every one of us, have access to God. We don't have to go to a priest, a father, but we all have access. We all are a part of this now new holy priesthood, and it is to the effect that we would now be able to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God because of Jesus Christ. We can offer them up and they are accepted in His sight. We are a part of the new race of people, verse 9, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. In a special and a unique way, the children of God, the church, we are a purchased possession of God, who has a unique fellowship with Him. And He has done all of this, verse 9, so that you and I would proclaim His excellencies, the excellencies of the One who called us out from that darkness into His marvelous light, called us out from death to life, called us out from guilty and condemned sinners to guilty, forgiven sinners. That's what the Christian life is all about, is to see the glory of God by faith in Jesus Christ as He is proclaimed and contained in the written Word, testifying of the living Word, so that we would live our lives for His honor and glory. This new race of people, this new generation, this new nation of people are characterized first and foremost by hearts that supremely treasure God above all things. Marked by this unique fellowship of communion with God, and marked by hearts that are full of passion and full of desire to make much of this God in and to the world. So when this happens, we began 2 weeks ago to think about this idea of seeing and savoring and spreading the glory of God into the world and becoming these holy priests who now have access to the Father through the Son, and we are accepted in this beloved one, Jesus, and now we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. And we began to think about and to ask the question, what are these spiritual sacrifices? What is it that you offer to God? Do you offer to God your money? Do you offer to God lambs and goats and doves and pigeons? What is it that you offer Him? What is it that the new people, the new covenant people of God that have been given hearts that supremely treasure Him above all things, what do we give in sacrifice to this God that's acceptable through Jesus Christ? Well, what is a sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? Well, a sacrifice, we all know in the Old Testament, would be something, usually something physical, could be a living animal at the time. It could be the first fruits of the ground, of the crops that they had planted and grew and cultivated, and now that plant was grown and all of the field is ready to harvest, and they would offer to God the first fruits of their harvest. They would offer to God lambs and goats, and they would offer to God bulls, and they would offer these pigeons and doves. Well, what does that mean to offer those things? What is beyond that and below that? Well, we could say that a sacrifice is something that we give to show honor and devotion to God. A sacrifice is something that, an action whereby we give something that shows our dependency is upon God. Because, you see, it would cost them something. It would be something that would be considered valuable that they would give. It would not be very pleasing to God if you were to give Him something that really didn't cost you anything, that really was of no value. It wouldn't really be considered a good sacrifice. You see, because if you live in an agricultural community and if you are growing herds of animals that you live by, the wool and the meat and the milk, and you live by what you grow in the field, and if you don't have a good harvest, you don't eat. If you don't have a flock that produces and continues to provide, you'll run out of clothing, you'll run out of food, and you won't live very well. You will suffer and maybe even die. And so by them giving of the first fruits of the crop, that would be the very thing that was the most valuable at that moment. Because what if you don't get to harvest the rest of it? Or that lamb that is spotless and without blemish, it's beautiful, it's healthy, it's vibrant, and you know that this is the kind of stock that you want. And so you want to keep this one. This is the best. I want to keep it because if I keep that one, I'll probably have a good flock of sheep. And they would give that up to show honor to God. They would give that up to show devotion to God. They would give that up in obedience to God. They would give that up, listen, to show dependency upon God. Because they would be offering that by faith. Here, take the best that I have, because I know the only reason I have that little lamb and the only reason that lamb is healthy is because You made it so. And if You gave me this one, You can give me 10 more just like it. You can give me 100 more just like it. But they were corrupt in heart like us all. And one of the things you read in the Old Testament that they were constantly doing and that God would rebuke them for was they would hold back the best and give God the worthless, the blind, the lame, the crippled, they would give him the thing that they didn't want anyway. And so sacrifices show are to be given to give honor to God, devotion to God, show our dependency upon God, our love for God, an action that will cost us something, something of value. And then every now and then, I love the dictionary because I looked this up, this word, and this was the definition. An act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. That's good stuff. An action of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more valuable. So when we offer up sacrifices, the idea behind it is that although this might be valuable to me, to you, we are more than willing to give that up because of the surpassing worth of God, because of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. We're willing to give it up. The best that we have to offer is not even worthy to compare with God. And so when we think about that this morning, we began to go through the New Testament scriptures and find passages that would help us to see what some of these offerings, sacrifices are. Now that we have a new priesthood, we don't offer the old sacrifices that were offered back in the Old Testament under the Levitical law. But we do still offer sacrifices to God. Let's see what they are. We learned some of them, but we didn't get them all. I'll bring us up to speed. The first one is your body. Your body. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It is the act of devotion and sacrifice and service to the Lord that you would not present to Him a dead sacrifice, but a living one. One that moves and breathes and acts and thinks and feels. One that is active. You offer to God your body as a sacrifice. You offer it over. You give it over to Him. No longer to consider it to be your own to do with as you so jolly well please. But you give it over to Him and say, take my body, fill me with your spirit, and use me for your glory. Your body. Secondly, we learn that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15, that we can offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God. Hebrews 13, 15, through Him that is Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Beloved, I wonder sometimes, what has happened to people who are not afraid, not ashamed to praise the name of Jesus? What has happened? So many people today, are you included, so silent, so passionless about God, about Jesus. Is He not valuable? Is He not worthy of your praise and thanksgiving? Does He not give you every step that you take, every breath of air, every sane thought? Does He not provide for us eternal life and peace through Christ? And we can't even say, thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Silence. Too much silence in the world. Too much silence in His church. Breaks my heart. When I was growing up in the church, I pray God will bring it back. The days when people love God and are willing to let it show, are willing to say, for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. Willing to say, this is the one who gave His all for me. I love Him and want to live for His honor in the world. the praise of our lips, thanksgiving to God. Thirdly, we learn that the good works of our lives, everything we do in our bodies, but specifically the New Testament teaches us that the actions of our life can actually be considered good works that are a form of sacrificial living to the honor and the glory of God. That you would do something, an action that is good by the standards of God's goodness, by faith, filled with the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God. And that will be an action of living, that will be a sacrifice that displays the value of God in your life to be supreme. Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. They are sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we learned last week that sharing, generosity, and giving are New Testament sacrifices. They were also in the Old Testament. We see that. But the generosity of a person's heart is one of the supreme ways to show that you don't love the things that you can touch, feel, and taste in this world as much as you love God. Generosity is one of the best ways to show it. And so he says in Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Beloved, you know that do you know the subject that Jesus talked about more than any other subject? You know what it is? Not hell. Not heaven. Possessions. He talked about that. He taught the people because, listen, the things of this in this life that we can touch, that we can taste, that we can hoard, that we can feel, that we can use for our pleasure and for our enjoyment, those things are the very things that often will pull us away from God. They'll pull us away from devotion to God. They'll pull us away from having Him to be the supreme treasure of our souls. And we'll begin to delight in those things. We'll begin to love them and enjoy them. And you know, before you know it, you can look back and say, well, I'm really not having any kind of pleasure from God. I'm just enjoying the stuff that He gives me. And so He told them, wherever your heart is, that's where your generosity is going to go. Your generosity is a way of saying, I don't take supreme pleasure in this. I take in supreme pleasure in you, in you. Philippians 4:18, Paul says, I have received full payment. The church at Philippi had given him an offering, a gift, so that it would help him and bless him and support his ministry there. And he says, I have received full payment and more. Just in case you don't think that your generosity is a sacrifice, he says, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, listen, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. That's part of it. That's part of it. And then, new territory for us this morning, number five, we find in the New Testament that part of what we offer as a spiritual sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God through the person of Jesus Christ, are the born-again souls that are saved. The mission, beloved, of the church is to make disciples of all nations of the world. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and declare Him to be the way and the truth and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by Him. And He calls everyone to come unto Him and receive forgiveness of sins and to receive eternal life in Him. And we preach that everlasting gospel, and we call people, men and women everywhere, to repent and turn away from sin and trust in Christ alone for their salvation. And those that are saved, those that are redeemed, those that are born again, are somewhat of a sacrifice, somewhat of an offering back to God that is pleasing through Jesus Christ. Romans 15:16. Listen to this. This is Paul talking about his ministry. to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. So he saw himself as someone who was going to go out into the Gentile nations, the non-Jewish nations of the world, all the other people groups apart from the nation of Israel. He was to go out to them with the gospel and preach the good news of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And those people that would be won, those people that would be saved out of all the nations of the world would be like an offering to God in the service of the gospel, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. The souls, beloved, that you and I reach with the gospel, that are born again and brought into the family of God, become the very sacrificial offering that we give with the fruit of our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, the apostle here is again retelling his ministry, the nature of his ministry, and he's actually going to share with us why he does everything that he does and why he suffers so willingly and so joyfully the way that he suffered. Why does he do all of this? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Everything he suffered, everything he went through, he said, I do it for the elect's sake. I do it because there's people out there, just like 1 Peter chapter 1 that we read in verses 1 and 2. There's sojourners and pilgrims out there that are the God-chosen people way before the foundation of the world. And the only way that they're going to come to that salvation that's in Christ alone is if I and or someone goes and preaches the gospel to them. And so he goes. And he suffers. And every time he was beaten, every time he was imprisoned, he would do it with joy in his heart because he suffered it willingly and joyfully so that those people could be saved. He knew that that was a way to live his life as an offering to his God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Here again, he's talking about his ministry, the Apostle Paul. Listen, now I rejoice in my sufferings. It's not a typo. I rejoice in my sufferings. I rejoice in them. Oh, I pray God would just grab your heart this morning. He rejoiced in his sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister, a servant, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this, listen, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. He did it all in the priestly service of God, to be able, by the grace and mercy of God, to stand on that day with a few people. The Apostle Paul had more than a few, but you and I may have a few people that we can say, thank you, Lord, that these are an offering to you that you won to yourself through my life. As I was faithful to proclaim, and live out your gospel in the world. Number six, this is the last one. The actions of self-sacrificing love for others. The New Testament reveals to us that one of the ways, one of the offerings that this spiritual, holy priesthood offers back to God are the self-sacrificing actions of love that we do for other people, especially other Christians in the church. Let me give you a couple verses. Beloved, you and I know that Jesus offered up his life in self-sacrifice on behalf of his bride, the church. He did that. The action of God's infinite love was to come and offer himself as a servant to the very ones who had turned their back against him. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the example and he is the Savior who offered up his life in self-sacrifice on behalf of those that he would redeem. Likewise, my brothers and sisters, you and I are called to live a life of self-sacrifice for the good of others. Mark chapter 12, verse 33. Mark chapter 12, verse 33. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as yourself, listen, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Much more than the animals that we could bring or the hay, the grain that we could bring is a life that supremely and passionately loves God supremely and loves their neighbors as themselves. That's a life of sacrifice, pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians, he describes the life of Jesus, our Savior, and he calls us to this kind of life. Philippians 2, 3, and 8, 3 to 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. I hear people saying, well, what can the church do for me? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is our Savior. This is the one that we pledge allegiance to. This is the one that our lives is to be devoted to. This is the one that the actions of our lives should show forth his supreme value by denying ourselves, yes, certain things. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, yes, you can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or you can count the riches of Christ to be more valuable than all the riches of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 to 33. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews, or to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Listen to what he says. Just as I try, this is a mind-blowing statement to me. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Do you live like that? The nature of sin is so self-centered, self-serving, and self-everything. But the new nature that we get in Christ is one that is willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after a suffering Savior, willing to joyfully follow Him into glory so that we can help others come to salvation in Him. We willingly and joyfully do that. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Our God is a God who creates and lavishes His creation for the enjoyment of all people. Be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. How did He do it? A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I said one more. I was wrong. There is one more. There is one more, but I'm going to save it because it's worth saving for probably a whole message. Beloved, I'm calling you by the authority of the Word of God. The writer of the book of Hebrews says that we, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, listen, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run our race with patience, endurance, and joy, just like our Savior, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, although He despised the shame. My friends, this message, this text is calling us. The Word, the Christian call is a life. Beloved, it is so pleasurable and joyful, but it is so against the grain of our flesh. It is one of self-sacrificing love. It is one of generosity and not stinginess. It is one that is willing to offer our bodies. God, take my life, everything I do. I pray that it would be like an offering to You that lives and moves and thinks and believes and has passion and feelings and has words that can be spoken and actions that can be done. And I want You to have it. I want You to have it all. Every facet of my life. That's a tall order and a high calling, but it is our call in Christ. And you can live it. By the grace of God and the power of God and the Word of God and the Church of God and all of the other means of His mighty grace in you, you can live it. You can live it. Let's pray together.